This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
That's right. We're here, folks. And you'd better hang on to your hats tonight, friends. Why, you ask? Well, because Harriet's here, and she's cleaning out our refrigerator.
I've already heard some muffled screams coming from the lounge.
Oh, she's a good radio person. She covers her mouth when she screams. This is Station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's 6 o'clock Wednesday, May 15th, 1940. Jack McKenna speaking. Lou Martin will be in with the latest war news. It's not going so well, unless you're rooting for Hitler, and fat chance of that. The news is brought to you by Rudolph's Furniture, where prices have been slashed. Get a Springfield mattress, for example, reduced to $9.95. Free delivery for 200 miles by Rudolph's Furniture. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack and listeners. Holland has yielded tonight, and the French fortress Maginot Line has been pierced by German forces. The bulletin about Holland's surrender, after just 5 days of fighting, came to us from the Associated Press. We begin our World Shortwave Radio Roundup from Virgil Pinkley in Amsterdam.
The German High Command announced that the capitulation of the Dutch Army was signed here at 11 o'clock this morning, local time. The German Commander-in-Chief and Dutch Commander-in-Chief, Henry Winkelmann, signed the pact. There seemed to be nothing else the Dutch could do after 5 days of stubborn but foredoomed defense of their homeland. So the surrender was ordered by the 64-year-old General Winkelmann, the highest-ranking government official left in the Netherlands after Queen Wilhelmina evacuated to London. Her air force not up to the fight against German fighter planes, her armies outflanked by the fast-moving modern war weapons of the Wehrmacht, the Dutch army was unequal to the task of fighting off the German war machine. In view of those circumstances, and in the hope of, quoting now, saving a small part of our beautiful country, end quote, and preventing further bloodshed, General Winkelmann ordered his forces to cease firing. He commanded that the armed forces maintain order among the people until the arrival of German regular troops. In a broadcast explaining his decision to the Dutch people, General Winkelmann said, quoting now, "It could not be otherwise. Our soldiers did their best. They held on bravely and fought against an overwhelming army. The civilian population suffered enormously. Rotterdam was bombed and destroyed. Thus we were compelled to lay down our arms," end quote. From London, Queen Wilhelmina sent a proclamation saying, quote, "The Netherlands will one day, with the help of God, re-win its European territory," end quote. For this reporter, who has witnessed the fall of Warsaw and 2 months ago Helsinki, this will be my last broadcast from Holland, a country known for its tulips. There appears to be little reason to expect this German onslaught to stop anytime soon. Signing off from Amsterdam, this is Virgil Pinkley, calling Paris. Come in, Wes Gallagher.
This is Paris, France. Wes Gallagher reporting. The city of lights is dark tonight. German troops have crossed the River Meuse at 2 points in Belgium and 1 place in France. Dispatches from Paris and London admit Nazi troops are now a scant 18 miles from the Belgian capital of Brussels. The German high command claims to have pierced the Maginot Line by the French textile town of Sedan. German bridgeheads have been set up on the Allied side of the River Meuse. The advance was made as the French counterattacked in a major tank battle, a weapon unknown 70 years ago when the German army overwhelmed Emperor Napoleon III in 1870, breaking the French as a power in Europe. This tank battle may be the decisive confrontation of this war. It has been raging for 2 days. Allied forces must stop this German blitzkrieg now. If not, its next victim will be Brussels. Belgian troops have been battered and weakened in the defense of their homeland. It's also feared here that if this blitzkrieg breaks through to the open fields of France, that Paris itself will be the next capital targeted by Nazi forces. In Paris, this is Wes Gallagher. Come in, London. Come in, Webb Miller.
This is the British Isles, your correspondent Webb Miller in London. Alleged successful British air attacks behind Nazi lines have been reported today. This news comes as Nazi victories in Belgium hammers home to Britain her own exposure to aerial raids. Broadcasts from Berlin heard here is spurring anxiety. That increased recruiting of a home front army needed to repel a German invasion by Nazi parachute troops. the German announcer warned that Britain is already in easy reach of German bombers. It continued that in this age of modern warfare, the insularity of the British Isles has ended. Meanwhile, the Air Minister here says the Royal Air Force has given invaluable aid to the French forces in the battle around the Sedan and the crossing of the River Meuse. Even so, the RAF lost 35 aircraft in this battle, aircraft that will be needed to defend the home folk. In London, this is Webb Miller speaking.
The defense and surrender of Holland comes amid terrible losses. Netherlands Foreign Minister Elko van Kleffens estimates that 100,000 Dutch soldiers lost their lives in the 5 days since the German attack. This means that one out of every four members of the Dutch army was killed. Minister van Kleffens says that Holland's fleet remains intact and has joined the Allied naval forces. Precedent was shattered at the head of the Reich's grain markets as prices fell 10 cents 2 days in a row on the Duluth trading floor. War jitters came with the news of the Dutch surrender. As soon as echoes of distressed selling by foreigners hit the Duluth exchange, the skid was on. Yesterday's presidential primary in Ohio saw President Roosevelt win all of the Democratic delegates, while Senator Robert Taft swept the Republican ticket. Rudolph's Furniture News time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has this message from our sponsor.
Indeed I have, Lou, and I have something from Rudolph's here at the corner of Tower and Belknap. The furniture corner of Superior, if you please. Have they got prices for you right now? Well, listen to this. A super feature. Here are our living room suites, priced as low as $48.88. Can you believe that? Well, you'd better, because it's true. At $69, a walnut bedroom suite is available. A spring-filled mattress for just $9.88. Oh, yes, it goes on and on, folks. Congolian rugs, 9x12 and 9x10.6. And other heavyweight bordered rugs reduced to only $3.88. You better get there soon, folks. Rudolph's, in Superior at Belknap and Tower.
A worker at the DuPont Explosives plant in Barksdale died after inhaling nitric fumes in an accident at that Bayfield County plant. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports from Washburn.
At first, the two workers hurt in this accident were okay. On Monday night, DuPont manager M.C. Kanake says a spill of mono oil in the buy-and-try house on the TNT production line set off the tragedy. The buy-and-try house operators Carl Palm and Edward Tourville inhaled the fumes. Mr. Tourville was also splashed by the mono oil. Both men went home after their shifts ended at midnight, seemingly okay. Mr. Tourville even drove himself to his Washburn home. But Tuesday morning, he checked into the Washburn Hospital for treatment. His condition worsened, and the 42-year-old Tourville died early this morning. DuPont manager Kanake says this is the first fatality in 6 years there. That was when Ben Page died from inhaling nitrous fumes on January 5, 1934. Mr. Tourville worked at the DuPont Explosives plant since 1925. He leaves his wife, the former Cecilia Justice, an 18-year-old daughter, Lorraine, who's a student at St. Joseph's Hospital in Ashland, and a 9-year-old son, Lee. Funeral services are pending at Bradley Mortuary, Lou.
Several freighters are being held up by a strong nor'easter on Shawamigan Bay. The AF Myers is tied up at the P&A coal dock, where it's unloading its cargo. But the Byers skipper won't risk taking the large ship over to the nearby ore docks. The freighter Ulrich is also caught up in the storm. That ship's master isn't moving from the Rice coal dock to the Soo Line dock. Another lader is riding out the waves at anchor. Two freighters are steaming back to the lower Great Lakes after undergoing repairs at the American Shipbuilding Company in Superior. The 580-foot William Palmer rammed another ship at the Sioux Locks, and the oil tanker Zephyr had damage to its propellers from ice. The Zephyr has a bad reputation. Since it was launched on the West Coast 20 years ago, 26 sailors have died in accidents aboard that ship. Ashland is in the black. In the first year of Mayor Gus Johnson's administration, the city went from $80,000 in the hole to $87,000 to the good, Mayor Johnson complimented the city council for its help in pruning the budget. The city council also heard a report from the committee investigating the Ashland Police Department. Supervisor William Upthegrove says there is nothing radically wrong with the police that a few well-placed rules could cure. And finally, Jack and good listeners, we have a story of two brave WPA workers who had a close call thanks to an old truck. Driver John Johnson says that he and Fred Gordon were hauling 15 heavy logs from the Nurse Sugarbush farm to be used for construction of the Bayfield City Dock. The truck was making its way downhill by the J. Stenswald farm when the brake drum broke. Mr. Johnston told Fred Gordon to jump while he tried to steer the truck into a ditch. Mr. Johnston then jumped just before the truck crashed. Kind of reminds me of riding in your old Model T pickup.
Now, that pickup had character.
All folks have character. Old autos have rust. You could see the road from inside your truck.
You could see the road from any truck.
Not through the floor.
Oh, yeah, but the radio worked great. Thanks, Lou Martin, who drives a nice, spotless, sensible Studebaker, which isn't as much fun as my old Model T.
My memories of fun with that pickup are pushing it uphill and dragging our feet going downhill.
Well, the weatherman isn't being kind to us, friends. Here we are having a nice spring, and voila! He said it's going to frost tonight. The forecast for this Wednesday, May the 15th, 1940, is for heavy frost, but warming up tomorrow. Just think, it was in the 80s last Sunday. We'll keep you nice and toasty tonight with some of our music from our hit parade. Here's Louis Armstrong and his orchestra and the Basin Street Blues on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWA.
Thank you.
The scat singing Louis Armstrong and orchestra with the Basin Street Blues. Speaking of a Studebaker, Carrie Garage can put you inside one of those large, comfortable automobiles right now. Pay the lowest price for the Studebaker Champion at Carrie Garage. It averages 29 miles per gallon, so it's highly recommended by thrifty newsmen everywhere. The 1940 models are just $660 at Carrie Garage, 13th and Cumming in Superior.
They have brakes that work on hills and everything.
There she goes again.
I told Harriet not to even try to clean out the refrigerator.
Think of all the memories she's wiping away.
My goodness,
oh, sounds like she just found one of those memories.
On with the music, folks. Let's listen to Eddie Duchin and Stardust on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. Fine music of Eddie Duchin, his piano, and his orchestra. Stardust on station KUWS.
The City Red Cross Drive has started. Superior Red Cross Chapter President T.J. Roth joins us. Welcome, sir.
This year is more important than ever. People listening to the radio program need to know that there are many, many civilians and refugees in war-cursed Europe who are in need now. This need is immediate. The spread of hostilities there has put a staggering burden on the Red Cross. Now, we may be struggling with a tough economy, but hear me and hear me good, we're lucky. Those refugees, well, it's just sickening what has happened in Poland and Norway and now in Holland and Belgium. There's so much talk about keeping our noses out of things over there, well, so be it, but we can't ignore what these Nazi thugs are doing to regular people like you and I. Thugs? Yes, I said thugs, and I won't apologize for calling a spade a spade. A thug is a thug.
So, Mr. Roth, do you have a goal for this drive?
Goals are for Girl Scout cookie drives, man. We want people to give what they can. Get your charts and graphs from the community fund. This isn't time for gimmicks, people.
I understand that pledges can be made to a certain country.
I'm glad you brought that up. This is important that Mr. and Mrs. U.S. of A., the donors can direct their contributions to go to Finland or Poland, Belgium, Holland, Norway. And unless you're a wide-eyed optimist, you better believe next we'll be getting pleas for help from Britain and France next.
How are contributions been so far?
Well, it's just getting started, Lou. Just getting started. It's too early to know, but by golly, our Midwestern chapter is just sending $50,000 of emergency medical supplies to Holland and Belgium. Mayor Bryn Ospie says the city is behind this drive, bless his heart. And kids, you can send in your pennies. It all makes a difference to help the wounded, shelterless, starving dregs of humanity who have fallen victim to man's inhumanity to man.
Thank you, Mr. T.J. Roth, Chapter President of the Superior Red Cross.
Yes!
What on earth is that far-off voice of pain?
Probably, more a voice of fright.
Someone's cleaning out the station's refrigerator. It's been a few years.
You mean you let the crud and mold and who knows what just sit there for all that time?
It's probably not sitting. It's growing.
My guess is Harriet's gotten to the back and bottom of the fridge. A brave woman, that Harriet.
For the love of Mike, are you telling me she's in there alone? What kind of men are you?
We're men who know better than to be around the back and bottom of that icebox. Here's Hokey Carmichael now. And two sleepy people on the Martin and McKenna show.
Here we are, out of cigarettes, holding hands and yawning.
Look how late it gets. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight.
Here we are, in the cozy chair, picking on a wishbone.
From this frigid air, two sleepy people, with nothing to say, and too much in love to break away.
Do you remember the nights we used to linger in the hall?
Father didn't like you at all.
I call him Pops. Do you remember the reason why we married in the fall?
To rent this little nest and get a bit of rest. Well,
here we are, just about the same.
Foggy little fellow,
drowsy little dame.
Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight. Here we are, don't we look a mess? Lipstick on your collar, wrinkles in my dress. Two sleepy people, oh, no very well.
Here we are, crazy in the head. Gee, your eyes are gorgeous, even when they're red. Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much in love to say goodnight. Do you remember when we went dancing at the Palomar? Was over, why naturally we cuddled in the car.
So you ran out of gas and I was green as grass.
Here we are, keeping up the pace,
letting each tomorrow slap us in the face.
Two sleepy people by dawn's early light, and too much
in love to say goodnight.
That's the icebox cleaning music of Hoagie Carmichael and Two Sleepy People on station KUWS. He not only wrote the song, but he sang it with Ella Logan.
Welcome to our community editor, Harriet Feirig. You look lovely, as always.
No, she doesn't. She looks frazzled. Her hair is a mess, and she has something on her nose.
Well, it was the refrigerator or me. At first, it beat me back a bit.
Harriet's not one to get beat back a bit.
We're sorry. After a while, you kind of ignore it.
Beat back a bit. Beat back a bit. I know. Better to be beat back a bit than bit back by a beat.
What on earth?
Sometimes Jack hears something and just goes with it. Bunnies like carrots. Dogs like bones. Jack likes tongue twisters.
Did you know that the fuzzy green lining on the bottom of the refrigerator that you guys put your sandwiches on is... Oh!
Hey, that's the classiest refrigerator I've ever seen. Carpeting on the bottom. Now, that's a good idea. It soaks up the spills.
That carpeting is mold. I peeled it back and it made a suction sound.
I suspected that it wasn't green felt.
Do you know what color the inside of that refrigerator is?
Blue.
Bluish gray, really.
It's white. At least it used to be white in 1930. Now, in 1940, it's white again. And in 1950, I expect it still to be white, boys. Now, I have some community news. First, the most exciting, Mrs. John Wozni, a farm woman who lives near Minung, is the hero of the hour. Her keen nose awoke her a little after midnight this morning. She jumped out of bed, went downstairs, and saw her home was on fire. Mrs. Wozni quickly woke her husband and five children. There was no time to lose. As soon as all were out of the house, it collapsed. No one was hurt, thank goodness, and their insurance should cover the $2,000 or $3,000 needed to rebuild their farm home. Olaf Johnson has been elected the chairman of the Norwegian Emergency Relief Fund in Superior. The group was formed during a meeting at Concordia Lutheran Church this week. Mayor Bryn Osby, Martha Klagstad, Dr. C. M. Mason, and Clarence Kinney are on the board. People wishing to donate can send their money to Community Savings Bank in Superior. And the annual military ball is set for the Superior Armory Saturday night. Captain and Mrs. Herbert Weeks will be chaperoning the affair. Enlisted men from the 125th Field Artillery Unit in Duluth will be the honored guests. Soldiers from National Guard units in Spooner, Chippewa Falls, Rice Lake, and Eau Claire will attend. The local battery is sponsoring the dance to raise money for its camp mess hall.
I know of a refrigerator they could get cheap.
The armory is located at 16th and John. The dance starts at 9 o'clock, and that's the community news, one and all.
Harriet Feirig, good listeners. Now, on with the music. Here's Benny Goodman and his snappy number, Sing, 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 on the Martin and McKenna Show. Hey, Harriet, did you find an old egg and onion sandwich anywhere in the fridge? Seems to me I lost one a couple of years ago.
He blamed me. He thought that I ate it.
We'll be right back.
the razzmatazz of Benny Goodman and his orchestra with Sing, Sing, Sing on station KUWS. Lou Martin now has the latest war news from Europe.
In France, the Battle of the River Meuse rages on French soil, breaking through the Maginot Line. Belgium, allies are fighting off heavy German attacks along a 100-mile defense line running from Holland to Antwerp, past Brussels to the River Meuse. The allies still hold Brussels. The Netherlands, the Dutch have surrendered. The Germans have entered The Hague. The Dutch burned oil and weapons supplies before the Germans could get to them. Germany. The Nazis predict heavy air raids over England soon. They now hold 16 Dutch air bases, less than an hour's flying time to England. Great Britain. British Minutemen throng police stations registering as guards and sharpshooters to pick off German parachute troops. Italy. Anti-Allied news broadcasts continue, apparently with Premier Benito Mussolini's approval. The Balkans. Hungary hears that Slovakia has mobilized and closed its borders. Romania is recalling its troops from Lviv. The press speculates that Italy, Germany, and Russia will join forces to divide the Balkans. And that's the latest news.
And I could really use that egg and onion sandwich after hearing that.
That voice makes me appreciate how lucky we are. So, if a little cleaning of the refrigerator jungle is our biggest problem today, well, that's okay with me.
Next time, it'll probably be best if we just buy a new refrigerator instead of cleaning it.
I'm sorry I blamed you for eating my sandwich, Lou. Who would have known the icebox ate it? Stay tuned now for Kate Kaiser's College of Musical Knowledge, and then Lum and Abner. And remember, folks, take the time and give what you can to the Red Cross. We'll be back, same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, and Harriet doesn't try to clean the men's room next.
I beg of you, Harriet, please, not that.
For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna, bidding you a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farag is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, John Munsell, Tom Martinson, Don Mason. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.